Hello, I'm Moira Alderson with the BBC News. President Volodymyr Zelensky says a Russian missile has hit a clinic in the city of Dnipro in southern Ukraine, killing two people and injuring 15. Russia has intensified such attacks, mainly on infrastructure, ahead of an expected Ukrainian counteroffensive. Sasha Schlichter has more details.
Dnipro has avoided the fighting of the last 15 months, but has been a target of regular Russian missile and drone attacks. In the early hours, one missile hit a medical facility, causing heavy casualties. President Zelensky posted a video of smoke billowing from roofless buildings with blown-out windows. Online footage shows rescuers helping people with blood on their faces escape from the clinic through corridors full of rubble. Mr. Zelensky commented, "Russian terrorists once again confirm their status of fighters against everything humane and honest."
The area of western Russia, which this week was the scene of a daring cross-border incursion, has now come under heavy bombardment. According to the governor of Belgorod, Greveron district came under intense artillery and mortar shelling early in the morning, with more than 130 shells landing in a village that sits right on the border with Ukraine. He said there was material damage, but no casualties. Iran and Belgium say they've carried out a prisoner swap involving a Belgian aid worker and an Iranian diplomat. The negotiations to reach a deal on the exchange were brokered by Oman, as our Middle East analyst Sebastian Usher reports.
"Free at last," the Belgian Prime Minister declared as he confirmed the release of Olivier van der Castiel, who's been held in Iran for the past 15 months. Mr. van der Castiel was accused of espionage and sentenced to 40 years in prison and 74 lashes. Belgium has always believed that he was being used as a political pawn by Tehran to try to force the release of Assadollah Assadi, an Iranian diplomat held in Brussels. He was convicted of masterminding a foiled bomb attack in France on an exiled Iranian opposition group.
African Union peacekeepers in Somalia are believed to have been killed when their base was attacked by militants from the Islamist group Al-Shabaab. The incident occurred near a town around 120 kilometres southwest of the capital, Mogadishu. The BBC's Kalkitan Yibaltal has this report.
The dawn attacks saw Al-Shabaab militants attempting to overrun a military base staffed by Ugandan soldiers serving in the African Union force. A series of explosions was heard and militants were also seen in the town itself. There have been no independent reports on casualties, but Al-Shabaab claims more than 100 have been killed. Its numbers are frequently exaggerated. The Ugandan military said they are investigating the incident.
Kalkidan Yubaltal reporting. BBC News. Saudi Arabia and the United States say the warring sides in Sudan are showing more signs of complying with a seven-day ceasefire. But eyewitnesses again reported sporadic clashes between Sudan's army and a paramilitary force in the capital, Khartoum. A resident there told the BBC that looting, kidnapping and sexual violence was on the rise. China has rejected a rare public request from Vietnam for a large Chinese research vessel and its accompanying fleet to leave contested waters near the Spratly Islands in the South China Sea. Hanoi says the waters had been licensed to a Russian firm for gas extraction. China's foreign ministry says that the Chinese fleet was carrying out normal activities within its own jurisdiction. A man's been arrested in South Korea for opening the emergency exit door of a plane as it was coming in to land. The flight between Jeju Island and Daegu had almost 200 people on board. Witnesses said those closest to the door appeared to faint one by one. The man reportedly tried to jump out of the plane. An Indian government official has been suspended after ordering an entire reservoir to be drained to recover a phone that he dropped. Rajesh Vishwas was on holiday at the Kerkata Dam in the central Indian state of Chhattisgarh. Lipika Pelham reports.
Mr. Vishwas was taking a selfie when his smartphone, worth $1,000, fell into the water. He called local divers to try to retrieve it. When they failed, he arranged for two powerful pumps to be run for 3 days to empty out 2 million litres of water, enough to irrigate 600 hectares of farmland. He only stopped when an official from the Irrigation and Water Resource Department visited the site after a complaint. Mr. Vishwas said the phone had official data stored on it, but after 3 days in water, it was unusable.
That's the latest BBC News.